last week, just to recap, John was with us. And we looked at kind of the home concept, and we said to ourselves, hey, if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can feel like orphans. We can feel like outsiders. And I think it resonated with a lot of our hearts, and yet we don't want to stay there. And so what he did is he demonstrated, I don't think we have the slides, I'm not going to waste it, but I'll remind you, for those that weren't there, huge big circle on the screen, white circle filled in, and then in the middle was a black dot. And he said, a lot of us are going to feel like that. You're going to feel like you're at the middle of things, you're the center of things. You know you're not the center, but you know you're in the center in terms of helping, serving, feeling a part of this thing, feeling involved, feeling as part of the family. And then, of course, he showed another diagram, which was the same white circle, but the black dot moves from the center right out to the edge, still inside the white circle, but right at the edge. And he said, you know what? Some of us can feel we're out there. We're still kind of involved, but we're on the fringes. We're right there. And of course, then he shared about the white circle, and the dot moves completely outside the white circle, and now it's outside. And it's like, I'm here, but I'm not sure where I fit. I'm here, but I'm not sure if I fit in yet. And here's the thing, what I know about all of those places, if you're not in the center, then all of those places don't last for very long. Because it's hard to be effective, it's hard to feel part of it, especially if it's a family, then you say, well, hey, maybe I got to move on, maybe I got to go here, maybe I got to go there. And this morning what I want to do is take another step forward. Instead of trying to see where you are, now it's about finding your place. And I believe this morning, as we see some of the things that God wants to reveal from his word, maybe it might change our perspective, because we've looked at it many times. A lot of times the way we see things is not actually the truth of what it is. We've just seen it through a certain lens. We're just seeing it through a certain emotion. We're seeing it like, I just thought this is the way it was always going to be. And then someone comes and changes you. You're like, how'd you do that? I mean, you ever had that one before? You're like, this thing just never works. This thing just never works. And you can never see how to do it. And then somebody comes along who sees it a different way, and they press 2-3 buttons. You're like, oh my goodness, what did you just do? And this morning, God wants to remind us that our perspective and how we view things is incredibly important. And of course, from start to finish, what the Lord's trying to do in our lives is trying to replace all the kind of, all the thoughts, all the emotions, all the things that we have seen from growing up from year dot to whatever year we are today. And he's trying to remind us, trying to transform us and saying, hey, the kingdom of God's not like this, like that, it's this. I mean, who would ever think that you should be praying for your enemies? Only in the kingdom of God would you do that. It doesn't make any sense naturally. It's like, get as far away from as possible. Stay away from them. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to rob from you. They're going to steal from you. And yet the Lord says that we're to pray for our enemies makes no sense. It's an upside down kingdom. And if we don't remind ourselves what the word says, then we start to fall into the traps that everybody else are in. And then we find ourselves, as we said last week, maybe on the fringes, maybe on the outside. Maybe I don't fit. Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I should be somewhere else. And God says this morning, I want to help you find your place. It's not, do you have a place? I want to help you find your place. And that's the word of the Lord this morning. I want to help you find your place. I want to read a verse this morning to encourage our hearts. Here's what it says, John chapter 14, verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Just this wonderful kind of caption of Jesus just reminding us that this is not the be-all and end-all. There may be troubles in this world. There may be the things that we lose, maybe things that we find. There may be gains and losses, but this is not it for us. We are going to a paradise. We are going to a better kingdom. We are going to a better world. We're going to heaven where it's perfect to be with our Father. And Jesus comes out with a statement, and he says to the disciples, we're going to many mansions. I'm going to prepare some things for you. I'm going to get some things ready for you. And of course, this is a future picture, but God says this morning that my goal is to bring heaven to earth. And so this morning in church, what God's goal is that he would build a home, that he would build a home here. That he would build your home at home, but he would also build you as part of this home. So he needs you to be a part of it, because family is about the members. It's not about just visitors. It's about people coming and being part of the family. And so this morning God said, not if you have a place, it's finding your place, but seeing it for the right things that it is, seeing it for what it is. Here's what I have found, is that because we come to church every week, and because we see, and it just keeps going in and going in, what can tend to happen is we start to see church less of a family and more of like a triangle organization, where there's like one person, and I mean, this is a perfect example. Maybe we need to change things up. I need to be in the middle. But this is a perfect example of it, because the leader's kind of at the front, and then seniority seems to flow from the front to the back, and the angle seems to get wider. So at the front is very narrow, and that's where it seems to be the most important people, or at least that's the way it looks. And as you get towards the back, least important. And I'm somewhere there, and everybody else is somewhere here. But the problem with that view is it's not God's intention, because that's one that says it's about the front, it's about narrow to the wide, it's about someone leading and everybody else following. And God says, that's never been my heart. Right from the early days, I wanted to walk with man. Imagine, God comes into the garden and he walks with us. He's telling us it's not about hierarchy, it's about family, it's about members. It's about seeing it for what it is rather than what you feel it is or what somebody else told you it is. The church is not a triangle. In actual fact, it's a circle. It's a circle where we all belong to each other. We're all part of this thing. And right at the center of the circle, we are there, but Jesus is right in the middle with us. And he's our great cornerstone. He's our great father. He's the head of our home. And we love him and cherish him. And it all filters back and forth. But then we also start to love and cherish everybody else. And God says this morning, I want you to find your place. It's not an if. I want you to see it, and I want you to be a part of it. It's not a triangle. It's a circle. I need you to be part of this home. You see, God created the home concept, and he created the home idea, because that's where you find family. That's where you find family. Now, I understand a family business, and it's great, but it's still business. But there's something about a home where we come together. I want us to think of a good home, because some of us maybe haven't had good experiences in the past, but now we have a new Heavenly Father. And so everything changes. So I want us to think of a kingdom home. I want us to think of a kingdom home where God is in charge, where the Father is at the center and his will is being done, and we are part of it, and we get to be part of his family. And so God chooses a home because that's where you find family. And we look again at the verse. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I want to see the language this morning that God's wanting to show us. It's a father. It's a house. These all speak of home. They don't speak of organization. They don't speak of it, or they don't speak of just what church sometimes what we can think of it as. It's a family. It's a community where we come together. Speaking about a father, speaking about a house. I go to prepare for you. I go to create a home for you. I talk to you. I communicate with you. Just family language all the way through. And God says this morning, this is what you are a part of, but you've got to see it the right way. Otherwise, you can feel like, I'm not sure if I'm here. I don't know where I fit in. I can't find my place. Here's the danger of the triangle view that we've talked about already. It's top to bottom. So there's only so many places at the top, and there's loads more places at the bottom. It's just constantly reinforcing that mindset that the world wants to tell you that you're insignificant, that you've got no role, and you're lucky just to be here. And that's just what it wants to continuously tell you. But if you could get to the top somehow, if you could just fight to the top, cheat, steal, whatever, if you could somehow get to the top, suddenly then you would find your significance. Then suddenly then you would get your role, and you would have found your place, and then forget everybody else, because I'm staying where I am. This is a fight. It's taken me a long time to get here. I'm not giving it up. And it's weird. Sometimes in church, that's the way it becomes. It's like, I can't wait till she leaves because then I can get to do the thing I really want to do. I mean, it's crazy sometimes what we do. And if we're not careful, we turn church into a triangle, and we're either fighting to survive or we've given up because it's just too hard. And so I just like, I'll go find somewhere else. And so then we tell ourselves things like, if I could just find somewhere else, maybe if it was smaller, maybe I could be a big fish there. And God says, no, that's not the goal of family. That's not the goal of church. It's to find where you fit in that family, to work together, to encourage each other, where everybody's bringing the best out in each other. I know this sounds like a foreign concept, but this is what God has intended, that we would come together and that we would be here for each other. Imagine that. I wouldn't be here for me. I would be here for each other. That is God's heart. This is what God wants to remind us of this morning. Maybe this is already convicting our hearts. That is a good thing. We are here for each other, to build each other up, to encourage each other. Imagine we come with that mindset. I'm here for everybody else. I'm here for everybody else. Trust me, with that heart, with that mindset, with that character, you're going to go all the places you ever want to go. Because God promotes that. God lifts that up. You're going to go all the places you want to go. Here's what I find if you think of it as a triangle. The top tells everybody else what to do. The top tells everybody else, you got to pray now. You got to read now. You got to do what I tell you. I mean, that's not the goal of God's heart. I mean, do you remember Jesus? What on earth did he have 12 no-hopers following him everywhere for? It was just ridiculous. 12 no-hopers. They weren't trained in the Bible. They hardly even knew it. They didn't know who he was. They were barely Jews. They weren't the chosen people at all. And yet he associated with them all the time, because he knew there was something greater that he was trying to demonstrate. The world at large at that time, it was a religious system. It was top down. Top tells everybody else. The top's the most holy. The top, you can't question. Everybody else must follow. Don't give any cheek. That type of idea. And then Jesus brings some guys around him that are betrayers, that are cheaters, that are outspoken, that are liars, that are doubters. What's going on here? What is Jesus trying to show us? He's hopefully trying to show us that anybody in here, there's room in the family for you. There's room in the family for you. And this is the Lord's heart this morning, to encourage you, to remind you that this thing is different than you think. Because with that triangle view that can so easily become our main view, it's a top-down approach. The person at the top's in charge, everybody else just follower. Don't say anything. Don't breathe. Just keep going. Here's what I find. The further you go back, the less significant you feel. And imagine you would come to church and be part of the family of God and feel insignificant. That's crazy. That's not God's heart. That's something he wants to deliver and transform us from. And so we've got to make sure that that's not what we're living in. There's little room at the front, so there's no room for me. So maybe I just start to drift away. Maybe I just start to move away. Maybe this is not my home after all. Maybe I'd be safer just try and go somewhere else. It's incredible. The enemy is so incredibly subtle that those notions start to come and they start to grow. And before you know it, you've got a forest full of them. A forest full of, I'm no good. No one even speaks to me anymore. I've got nothing to offer. I've not done anything significant. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And yet Jesus, from start to finish, demonstrates, I took the least to promote them to great places. In fact, he says the least of them would get to the greatest places. Because the last will be first and the first will be last. The kingdom of God is completely different. It's completely different. And God's heart this morning is to remind us of this. And so God says this morning, once we get into that view, what we start to do is there's no attachment, there's no belonging, and we just stop attending, and we give up, and we move on. And then maybe we repeat the cycle, until maybe one day we grab a hold of it and say, okay, I'm just going to be a part of this thing. I'm just going to get involved. I'm just going to do this thing. I'm going to be here, and this is me. And God says this morning, I want to change the way you see things. I want to change the way you feel sometimes. I want to remind you of this home view that God has really intended the family of God to be and the church of God to be. I want to bring you back to Hebrew culture. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I'm going to remind you of it. Hebrew culture, right back in the day, our culture doesn't demonstrate it well enough, which again then reinforces the idea that church is really a triangle and there's only room for a few and everybody else just sits and just does their thing. And tries to get it out as quick as possible, or whatever it is. But here's Hebrew culture. If we go back hundreds of years, Hebrew culture was like this. I would have a home, I would raise daughters, and at the end of it, I would try to convince the daughters, not just to get married, but that they would move back into the home with their husbands. And what we do is we would extend the home and we would create a place for them. And then what you'd find is on the other side of the home was good old granny. And she was still there. And, you know, whether you like it or not, she's there. And maybe she's granny mother-in-law or whatever she is, but she's there. And then back behind, there's good old Uncle Fred or whatever. And he's with us as well. It just keeps expanding. And then our kids get up and then either they move on or they start to stay in the family home as well. It wasn't like you would go and build three or four homes beside each other, or you would build three or four homes down the road. You were together. You were a community. This was God's heart for the community of God. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go and build a home, and we're all going to move in together. We can do that if we want. That could be fun. That could be not. But the church of God is supposed to be a representation of that metaphor, where we are together. Where it's not the goal of this is mine and this is yours, and you stay away from me and I'll stay away from you. That is not the goal. Hebrew culture would have been that they lived together, that they broke bread together, that they were at the same kitchen table together, that they loved each other, that they communicated together. I mean, think about it this from simple terms. The older would have been able to come together with the younger and share wisdom. I mean, the person who had more would be able to come together and share with the person who had less. The person that maybe had greater wisdom on this thing would be able to come together with the person who had no wisdom on that thing, and they would share wisdom, and together they would get stronger. Because here's what I find with family, and maybe you've learned it, or maybe you're going to see it this morning. Whenever we work together, we all get stronger. we all get stronger. But the enemy wants to say that you're at the outside of the circle, and if you're not on the outside, you're on the inside, but you're still on the outside because you're right on the edge. And he wants to take you away from the center, and he'll use all sorts of lies. Like, come on, you got to stay humble. Humble people stay out at the edges. No, they don't. Humble people stay next to Jesus. That's what keeps you humble. He wants to tell you that you're no good, which keeps you back at the edges again. But the Lord says this morning, I want to remind you that you are at the center, and I want you at the center. I want you with me. I want you with me. Ryan Matthews, who we're going to go and visit in a few months' time, and he'll be with us in a few months' time sharing here, he always says this statement. I love it. He says, those that are closest to me get the best of me. Those that are closest to me get the best of me. I mean, imagine if we had this mindset, rather than saying, like, I'm not going to hang around with her. I'm staying well shot of her and him. What if we started to come together? Because a lot of times the reason we say that is because they're not like us. They don't do things like us, don't look like us, don't talk like us, stay away from me. And God says, hey, you got to get around each other because they've got things to teach you and you've got things to teach them in love, in love, in love, in love. And watch how we both grow, because when it's a family and not a triangle, it's less about me trying to jump the ladder of success and it's more about me trying to find my place to encourage the body of Christ, because we're many members of one body. That's the word of the Lord for us this morning. It is not rocket science. It is not a new revelation, I hope, but maybe it's a quick reminder to the heart that this is what God has always intended. The home is a great place. Imagine we were living with all of those people. I guess it might bring out the worst of us, but hopefully it would get us to a place of, I'm going to have to change, Lord. It's probably more about me than it is about anyone else. Anybody ever find that? You don't have to show your hand. Maybe it's just me. But you've been around with someone and they've frustrated you. They're driving you up the wall. And then after a while you realize they're not going anywhere. And so I'm going to have to change because there's some things need to happen to me. There's some change that need to take place in me. You see, within the family environment, this is what God intended, because it's full of love, it's full of grace, it's full of a space that says it's okay to feel because we'll be there for you. It's not I told you so, it's that I'm there for you. It's not I can't wait to get rid of you, it's like I can't wait to help you, I want to be there for you because I understand this principle that if it's you today, it could be me tomorrow. And so we've got to encourage each other, we've got to be there for each other. And watch how when we come together as family and live how God intended us to do so, that we're all going to succeed, that we're all going to grow. And here's what you're going to end up with, a greater blessing from the King. Because God ain't going to bless what we're not blessing. If we are not living like the people that God has called us to be, how can he bless that thing? What does he say? He says that if you cannot forgive those that have unforgiveness towards you or have wronged you or have done wrong against you, what does he say? He gets super strong and he says, well then, I can't forgive you. That's incredible. But here's what we've subtly done, and if we're not careful, this is how we live our lives, even if it's not what we believe. We say, okay, well, to avoid that one, I'll stay away from people. Because if I've got nothing with people, if I've got no bad attitude with anyone, if I've got no wrong thinking with anyone, then it's okay, me and God will be good. And God says, no, we've got to be around each other. We've got to encourage each other. We've got to find our place and serve each other and work out the issues and work out why they're making me cross and work out why I'm making them cross and allow the Lord to change us. Here's what I have found in my life. I try to think it sometimes, but I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. There are a lot of changes that need to happen in my heart. Thank the Lord, he is not finished with me yet. And you know what he does? He uses people to test me. He uses people to test me. And I keep saying, Lord, help me. And he keeps saying, okay, let's do some heart work. Let's keep doing some heart work. 99% of the time, the problem, I have found it in my heart, not in theirs. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? 99% of the time, it's in my heart and not theirs. Church, I want to encourage you. If we see it as a triangle, it's always about trying to grab, pull out, remove, jump ahead. When we see it as a circle, when we see it as a family, we're there for each other. Here's what I love about the family, what I love about the circle. Every room is important. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a room for you. Could you imagine our homes? When you start to see it with the right kind of mindset, you realize that every home in your house is important, isn't it? I mean, how do you do without your kitchen? You're not going to be able to eat. I mean, your kitchen table, you need to be able to sit and eat somewhere. How are you going to do without, hey, we're not going to go into this in too much detail, but how do you do without your toilet? You can't do without it. It's an essential part of your home. How do you do without your bathroom to keep clean, all the things you're going to do in your bathroom. How do you do without your bedroom where you're going to rest, where you're going to get to sleep at night? I mean, maybe even other things like, how are you going to do without your stores or your cupboards that keep all the important things of your home in them? How are you going to do without all of that stuff? And the reason why we need to think about this is because we need to think of it in a family context, because if it's a triangle, then we don't need anybody else. The top three or four at the top, we're all good. We don't need anybody else. You do, but you think you don't. But in a family context, you're like, imagine going to a home that doesn't have a toilet. You'd be like, come on, we need to get a toilet built. We need to get a bathroom built. Imagine you go to a family home that doesn't have a kitchen. You're thinking, we need to get a kitchen built. This is just weird. What way are we going to live? Run to fast food all the time? Like, what are we going to do? We need to get this thing built. And God says this morning, this is the way the church is. And when we start to see it as a family, then we start to find our place. Because here's what I find. When we get to a home, there are some people that love to be in this room. There are some people that love to be in that room. There's some people that love to run up and down the stairs. That's kind of me, trying to run to every room. But there's some people that just want to stay in this room and do their thing. And then they move to the next room and they do their thing. I mean, we talk about the host team. Imagine a home without a living room, without a space to welcome people, without a space for visitors to come to. It would just be crazy. And when we start to see it as a home, do you know what we start to quickly realize? Three or four people can't do it, especially if there's a lot of people coming to the home. Three or four people can't do it. We need to find our place. It's not if you've got a place. Now we start to see there's an urgency to find our place because we need to find it. We need to find our place because there's a role for me. It's important that I find it. It's important I integrate. It's important I get there. Is it any wonder that the enemy would love to remove that view because he sees how essentially important it is? I mean, if he can't stop us being a Christian, he'll stop us being an effective one. If he can't stop us making a decision for Christ, then he'll make sure to try and keep us away from the house of God as much as possible, because when we dwell together, there's blessing there. When we dwell together, there's encouragement there. When we dwell together, we can command the blessing and we can see the Lord work in our lives. And I can have worth, I can have value, because as I serve my brothers and sisters, I feel that encouragement. I feel the Lord topping me up. I feel the Lord just calling me into my destiny. And church, this morning, I want to encourage you. This is a home. This is a home with many rooms. And maybe you're here this morning, you think to yourself, I'm only fit for a cupboard. Then there's cupboards for you. There are cupboard space. There are drawers. There are places that we need your help, that we need you to be a part of, because God is doing great things. And here's what I've learned about a home. And I want to give it to you as hopefully a great pearl. Is that if you're a visitor to a family home and you start to come on a regular basis, you can't stay a visitor anymore. You become part of the family. It's just what happens. If you still had a visitor coming, who was still a visitor, and they're coming every week for the next 2-3 years, and they were still coming as a visitor, you'd be like, what's going on here? Do you know what would happen? Naturally, they become part of the family. Why? Because you talk to them. Because they talk to you. Because you start to get to know about their life. Because you know what will start to happen? Instead of sitting at the kitchen table and probably eating everything they give you, they're probably going to jump up and go, let me do that. They're going to figure out how you make cups of tea, like how you do it in your house. You're going, I'll get my own cup of tea. What's going to happen is they're going to naturally integrate into the family. It's just going to happen naturally. Now, that's what happens in an outside perspective. Should that not happen in the church? But again, the enemy's very good at trying to change our viewpoint to say, oh, no, I'm just attending. Imagine coming to my house and you go to me, I'm just attending. I'm just a visitor. I'm like, that's awesome. But if you come 3 or 4 times more, I'm like, no, you're not a visitor. I know you. You're a friend. The more you come, you're part of the family. You're uncle such and such. You're like cousin this. You know, it's just what happens. You become part of the family, and you get involved, and you start to serve, and you start to do incredible things. The devil doesn't want it, but God absolutely loves it. Here's what I have found in the home. In the home, the majority serve and work together. The majority serve and work together. You cannot have a big home unless everybody is working together. It just doesn't work. And if you try to make it work, your mom's going to tell you. If you try to make it work, your dad's going to tell you. You're not going to be in this house and not help out. I mean, you're not going to be part of this family and not bringing something to the table. You've got to work together. And here's what God is doing. He is filling up the room. He is filling up our house. But it means the majority is going to have to start to take greater responsibility, going to have to start to get greater involved and stop believing the lie of the enemy that I'm just on the fringes, I'm just inside the circle, or I'm just outside the circle, and start to allow yourself to move to the middle. Because there's roles for you, there's importance for you, there's significance for you. It's vital, it's incredible, it's good, it's God's plan, it's God's intent, it's God's intention. You are part of the family. Here's the incredible part when we start to see it as a home. You find your place. You find your place. You're like, I could do that. Yeah. Anybody need help here? I could do that. You stop thinking about insignificance. You stop thinking about this or that, and you start to see it for what it is. I can make a difference there. I could help there. Anybody need help? Sure, I'll jump. I'll go. I could do this. It's incredible when we start to see it as the way God always intended. Then we find our place. And here's what happens when you find your place. You start to feel like you belong. And when you start to feel like you belong, that's it. You're in. You're going to make a difference. And you know what you're going to start to do next? You're going to fulfill automatically the Great Commission. You're going to go, hey, have you been to this church? Have you been to our home? I want to bring you. I want to bring you. I want to bring you. It's what naturally happens. Like, how weird would it be if I invited a visitor to my house and then they brought three more guests with them? I'd be like, oh, okay. It would have been nice to know. I've only made food for one. I hadn't made provision for the other three. I mean, it's just not what we do. And so if we don't see the home in the way God's intended, then is it any wonder that we're struggling to maybe bring a friend or bring somebody else? Because it's like we're still feeling like an outsider. Then we're not going to bring anybody else to feel like an outsider too. And yet maybe it's not the truth. Maybe it's just a view that we have seen that is not correct. And God says, no, you're actually part of the family. And you've been coming for a while. You're actually a member and you don't know it. Step into it. Stand in it. Allow the Lord to remind you of it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And allow all that negative, stinking thinking to be dissolved in Jesus' name. Amen? And get rid of it. Get rid of it because you're part of a family and God's called you to belong. Here's our great problem this morning. Acts chapter 6. I'm going to read it together. We shared it in the pastoral team, pastoral care that we were doing on Wednesday night, and I wanted to share it again this morning. Here's the disciples. It's the early part of the church. The church is exploding. The church is expanding. Great things are being done. I mean, I believe it's the same here today. I believe it's in any church that's healthy and strong, and it's in the Word, and it's flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then they're expanding. It's an automatic thing because God said, I will build my church, and hell cannot stand against it. That's the Word. That's the Word of God. Here's the problem that they had, early disciples. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, this is what the Lord's doing for us. A year or two ago, we were half the size. Now God is multiplying us. If we had everybody that was able to come that is part of the family this morning, whether you know it or not, if everybody came, we wouldn't have enough room for everybody. Thank goodness for rotas and for shifts and for all sorts of things because we just couldn't fit everybody in. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. When you get a bunch of people together, we're going to start to fall out. It's inevitable. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. You see, whenever we get a bunch of people together, and we get people together, there are needs, and needs must be met. And so this seems like a trivial thing, but at the end of the day, if you don't get food, you can't work, you can't go, you can't do. And if I don't get food, I get grumpy. Anybody else like that? I need food to keep me less grumpy. No, happy and joyful in Jesus' name. That's what I need. And so what happens is the age-old problem. See, those old Greeks, what are they up to? I mean, we're supposed to be the people. We're the Hebrews, not them old Greeks. And they start to fight with amongst themselves. It's what we do. It's what we do. I've been here longer than you. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, you don't even know your Bible. I know it way better than you. Or like, I've got far more needs than you. And we start to grumble. We start to get discontent with each other. And you know the reason why that happens? Because of the first part, we're rapidly growing and there's not enough people to help in the home. And so what we're really annoyed about, we're frustrated that there's not more helpers. We're frustrated that there's not more people serving. We're frustrated that there's not more people helping to do the basic things. And God says this morning, I'm doing the first part. Would you do the second part? Not the complaining part, but the bit that's going to come next. You know what they did? It said the disciples got together to come up with a plan. Guess what their plan was? To use you. That was their plan. They said, we're going to find people from the Greeks. We're going to find people from the Hebrews, upstanding, good men. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to charge them with responsibility. We're going to charge them with authority. And we're going to say, hey, your job is to distribute food. And we're going to wipe out all that grumbling and complaining. You see, whenever we get our hands to the plow, whenever we get busy, whenever we get part of the family and we integrate, you can't start complaining against yourself. It doesn't make any sense. But if you're not part of it, then you can grumble all day. See that church? See that church? It's like, good for nothing. Does nothing for me. Does nothing for me. But whenever it's part of your family, it's like, you'll defend your family. You'll fix that in your family. You'll be like, well, okay. I'm going to go fix that thing. Yeah, you're right. You've got a point. I'm going to go fix that. But it's really easy to stay on the outside because guess why? Then you can still be a complainer. And secretly inside, we like complaining a bit, especially in Northern Ireland. You've probably found that. We like to complain a bit, like to grumble a bit. It makes us feel good. It's not good. It's not good. What it does is it keeps us on the outside. It keeps us away from responsibility. It keeps us away from ownership. Because when you own the thing, you can't complain against yourself. It makes no sense. You don't stand in the mirror and complain against yourself. It's just crazy. You don't do it. But if we don't step into and we continue to view this thing as a triangle and that only the fittest survive and only the top are important, and I'm not even, hey, doesn't even matter if I was here or not, nobody's going to notice. Imagine that thought. But whenever we see it as a family, we notice it. We notice every single person because we're part of the family. It's like, is everybody okay? I mean, we don't send out a warning for somebody that we don't know. We send out to the police for people that we do know. We say, hey, they've been lost for 24 hours. What are we going to do? Imagine that. In a family, if they're lost even for a few hours, we're sending out to the police saying, hey, where is everybody? Where'd they go? We need to find them. We need to get them back. And God says this morning, when we see ourselves as family, we're going to address it. Their answer was, they find men and women just like you. And they said, hey, we're going to charge you. We're going to empower you to do the things of God. Church, this morning, there's a natural growth cycle for every believer. We start off as babies in Christ. There's just a natural growth cycle. But as we grow, and as we grow in the things of God, we naturally then become toddlers, hopefully teenagers, hopefully mature adults, mature sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you, as people that are growing, as people that are on a journey, as people that are moving forward, this is what the Lord has called us for. To be here at such a time as this, to be part of a family, to not be on the fringes, not be on the outside, but to step in and take your place because it's vitally important. We're going to finish in just a minute. I'm going to get the guys to come. But I want to encourage you, just with a couple more thoughts as we finish, just to stir our hearts. Can we stand together? We didn't mention it yet, but if you're part of a family, then you contribute in every way. And sometimes what I find is not only do we want to not be a part of something because we don't want to take ownership for it, because we don't want to take responsibility for it, but because on the other side, we're just like worried about like just the commitment of it. Just the commitment of it. Like, you know, I have little enough time as it is. I have little enough time for this, little enough time for that. But any good family needs maintained. Any good family needs work done. There's chores, that dreaded chores word, or jobs, or whatever it is. But maybe when you were growing up, to help you do the chores, you got rewarded for the chores. You were like, well, if you do that, I'll give you a few quid. And it helps it go. It helps it work. And in the kingdom of God, it's absolutely no different. As we would serve the Lord, as we would step into what the need is, as we would step into a room that maybe is not our first priority or not our first love, as we would step into that, oh my goodness, God would start to reward us. He would start to bless us. And what I find is this, is that sometimes we can sit around and think to ourselves, God, what's the call for me? What's this you want me to do? Am I even meant to be here? We can think all of those questions instead of just saying, hey, I'm part of the family. I'm going to get busy. I mean, if I hand you Aria, you might have to change the nappy anyway. It just might have to happen. You might not have time to think. You might just have to do it. It's exactly the same in the kingdom of God. We're meant to be there for each other. We're meant to be encouraging each other. If five or six are trying to do it on their own, watch how the thing will decrease, not increase. If five or six are trying to maintain it on their own, watch how everybody else gets frustrated and a few get enjoyment. But it's not full enjoyment because there's pressure, there's stress. But God intended us to be part of a family where we're all serving together, all there for each other. I want to encourage you not to say, if you've got a place, but what is my place? And until I find out what my perfect place is, I'll wash a few dishes. You know what I mean? And I'll wash a few dishes, and before you know it, I'll maybe go and, I don't know, make the bed. And then after that, you know what? Maybe I'll go and buy some things because I'll get more responsibility. I'll get this, I'll get that. But what I find in the house of God, what I find with the family of God, is that all our needs get met as we serve each other, as we honor and love each other. And so, church, I want to encourage you, wherever you find yourself, get stuck in. Go for it. Don't let the enemy hold you back with fear or regret or past hurt, but step into the family of God because God is doing great things and he needs you to be a part of those great things. Amen? Can we pray together? Lord, I thank you this morning for all that you're doing. I thank you this morning, Lord, for all that you're doing in this place. I thank you, Lord, for what the rapidly increasing things you're doing, Lord. The rapidly increasing things. But Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, I know that many of us can feel like this. It's a real reality. It's a truth that we can find ourselves on the edges, on the outskirts of things, wondering, maybe hoping for permission, maybe wanting this, maybe wanting that. Lord, I pray this morning, if we're looking for permission, then a big yes is coming in Jesus' name. Lord, if we're waiting because we're hurting, then, Lord, healing is coming in Jesus' name right now. in Jesus' name. Lord, if we can't move forward because we're still looking backwards, because of regret, because of shame, because of hurt, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you're just going to swivel our heads and just say, look, the past is gone. It's no longer here anymore. You live in the present, looking forward to the future. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that our Father goes to prepare a place for us, but he's also coming back for us. He's coming back for a beautiful bride. He's coming back for a wonderful church family. We are the hope of the world. And if we can love each other like Christ, if we can step into our place, if we can step into our role, if we can serve in the ways that God's called us to serve, then we will fulfill all that God has got for us. And we will extend the kingdom. We will extend the kingdom of God. We'll see many saved. We'll see many things done in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for courage this morning. I pray for boldness. And I pray for excitement, because I think these things are exciting. I truly believe it. When we start to realize, wow, there is something for me. Wow, there is a role for me. Wow, there is a place for me. I believe that's exciting. And Lord, I thank you this morning that you are the one that raises people up, that you are the one. There's no man holding anybody back. There's no this, there's no that. It's God that anoints. It's God that blesses. It's God that raises up. And so, Lord, I pray that you just place your hand in every person's life this morning, every person's heart this morning, and call them to greater steps, call them to greater things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to worship this morning. We're going to take our offering. I'm going to encourage us to worship the Lord. And as we give, we're worshiping. As we sing, we're worshiping. As we are praying, we're worshiping. And as we worship, allow the Lord to speak to you. And maybe some of the things that we talked about this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to just challenge your heart. Allow him to call you to greater things. Allow him to cause you to take a step further in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord.